I'm Curtis, and you're listening to the Beat 2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Colin Dolan. How are you doing this evening, Colin?
I'm doing well. Thank you for contacting me.
Well, Colin is the founder of the Mental Health Football UK. So, before we get into mental health football, a bit about you. You wrote an article a while ago about returning to football saved your life at the age of 47.
Yeah.
So, did you start off as a player?
I had ambitions of being a player when I was young. It was my ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, after several attempts through trials left, right, and centre for various clubs, I just couldn't cut the mustard. I was training with Partick Thistle for about 6 months. I was on their books as a young lad just after left school. Didn't take advantage of the opportunity. I wasn't good enough, and my temperament wasn't right. But after that, I've always been a big football fan. Watched a lot of football, but also played amateur level. Played a lot of Sunday league games, an awful lot of Sunday league games.
Yeah.
But also played for now and again. I had a chance to play semi-professional as well. Had a few games. So football was a huge part of my life, as well as playing. I was watching, I was coaching youngsters as well at one point. Then I coached my own amateur Sunday league team, which was great fun, really enjoyable. Some of the best times of my life with that team. And I continued to try and play after several injuries. Tried to play and was still playing on and off, playing amateur football until I was in my 40s.
Yeah,
the returning to football at 47 was just a major shock. Being honest, it was something I never expected to happen. I was ill.
Yeah.
I'm bipolar, and I had gone through two very, very severe bouts of depression. One while I was still living, I used to live in Madrid. I went through a severe bout of depression and was hospitalised over there for 8 weeks. And on my return to Blighty back here in Liverpool, again I was institutionalised because I was so ill. Came out of hospital and life was just non-existent. It was just I didn't do anything, you know. I was I found myself isolated at home.
Yeah.
Didn't leave the house at all. And my partner, she convinced me to just get along and see what it was like with Everton, the Communities Imagine Your Goals programme.
Yeah.
It's specifically set up to help people that got mental health difficulties. Went along, and within the second session, it just gave me a whole new direction in my life, and it didn't just change me and make me feel welcome and make me feel well once again. It actually made me start looking at life completely differently. It really did change my entire life, and it has certainly changed it so dramatically that I would say that it saved my life, because I could have gone back on to becoming a hardened drinker. I could have gone back to abusing drugs. And my mental health would have certainly deteriorated as well. So it did save my life.
So how did you go from being a participant to getting involved with the football therapy?
Well, I was so grateful to what was happening through the local NHS, the Merseycare service that I was getting, and Everton, the community. I wanted to give something back. I decided to volunteer with Everton. But in doing so, I was getting around to a number of tournaments, various parts of the country, and I was seeing what other programmes, other mental health football programmes, were doing in the local areas, the likes of Barnsley, Rotherham, at York, various places we were going to, and I was going, being invited to go along as a player at 47. It was a good time. It was a shock to the system, I have to say, playing competitive football at that age against guys less than half my age. I met some wonderful people.
Yeah.
And I saw how everyone was sort of evolving through the football, and what was happening was people were beginning to blossom. The lives were changing, and I kept thinking, what happens to me so dramatically? It must be happening to other people as well. So I started making investigations online to see who was doing similar programs throughout the country. And while I was out injured for some time, I had quite a severe spinal injury. I couldn't leave the house. I was stuck indoors. I wanted to contribute to helping Everton. More than anything, and I thought I'll set up some friendlies, look at the possibility of more tournaments to get the lads involved with, and through speaking to people, I realised that some people didn't even know what was going on in their own city. They had one programme, and they didn't talk to each other around the city. There was places like Yorkshire, where there was maybe four or five programmes going, but they weren't in regular contact with each other, so everyone was doing their own individual bit. So I wanted to have an umbrella organisation that just brought people together, did a bit of networking, and through time was all about raising awareness of how important football therapy has become to so many people, and how effective it has been, because of the four things we look at are the physical, the mental, the emotional and the social well-being, and we see improvements in all four areas on a regular basis, as well as the long-term social economic effect as well, and the fact that we are seeing less of a reliance for some people, less of a reliance on medication, less of a reliance on the NHS services as well. So it certainly is working. And we are moving at quite a fast pace at the moment. Mental Health Football UK has really taken off in a big way over the last few months, actually. Very big.
So what were your aims when you founded the Mental Health Football? Was it just to get everybody involved, or was it?
Well, at the very beginning, it was more about trying to create more playing opportunities. That was what I thought. I thought that was the most important factor, was creating more opportunities for people to go and play in competitive leagues and tournaments around the country. But the aims of it started to move the more I became acquainted with what other people were doing in other parts of the country. The aims now are to help to ensure that every town and city in the UK has a football therapy programme.
Yeah.
And when we have anyone who wants to go and play football because of the ill health, their mental ill health, that there is something within reasonable distance for them to go to. Even if it's only 1 hour a week, that 1 hour a week to that person makes such a huge difference, can have such a massive impact in their life. So the aim now is to ensure that everyone around the UK that feels that it may benefit them gets an opportunity to join somewhere.
So do most local clubs have a mental health football?
There's approximately 200 organisations that run football therapy, mental health football therapy programmes. That goes from English Premier League clubs to grassroots football teams, right through to mental health charities and a few NHS trusts as well. You don't find that it's not always just the big clubs that are involved, because like the demand on a football club these days, in any of the big clubs, like the big Premier League clubs, even though they've got all that money, the trusts and the community side is always run as a separate entity, and it's generally a charity. So they could be looking after 15 other sets of criteria within their community anyway, So you don't expect them to do it. They obviously help out in so many other areas that not everyone can cover the mental health side. However, we find that a lot of smaller football clubs certainly buy into the idea and see that there's a need for it. There's certainly necessity within their area. If there's nothing going on, I'm looking at my board at the moment. There's a list of 22 British football clubs who are currently looking at launching a new programme, and they're going to be doing that simply because I've been twisting their arm.
Yeah,
is one way, but also showing them that it helps so many people in society, and it's the knock-on effect as well. It's not just the 1 in 4 people that are affected by the mental health problems, mental health illness. It's the knock-on effect of the families, places of employment, the friends. It hits society in such a big way that we've been turning a blind eye to for a long time. And it has been swept under the carpet for far too long, and now it's at the forefront of even politicians' minds at the moment. So yeah, it's the right time to get more people involved. And thankfully, some of the smaller football clubs, without being disrespectful to them, they've actually saw that this is an opportunity for them to really do something positive for people within their local community. So it's a great time to be involved, and as I said, it's grown very quickly. I've now got to the situation where I'm working with Mind, on who are the UK's largest mental health charity. Yeah. I work with them on a programme called Get Set to Go, and various other bits and pieces as well. But in the main, it's to encourage some of the satellite offices to take up football therapy, and I'll help them to get started, but also the ones who have got existing football programmes to try and encourage more people to participate and raise awareness throughout their own local community. And we've also taken on, I'm beginning to do work with an organisation called Community Integrated Care, one of the UK's largest health and social housing organisations. I think that's how they're described. and they're finding a number of their clients who have mental health problems want to try football therapy. They want to get involved in an appropriate football programme, and they will basically forward the names to myself, the contact details of the clients they have, the areas they're in, and I will do my very, very best to try and find them an appropriate programme within a reasonable travelling distance. Some of them are a bit far, and it can't be helped. But if the demand is there, I will knock on the doors of every club, whether it be grassroots Sunday league team or whether it be a Premier League team. I will knock on the doors and say, look, we've got a real need for it in your area. Can you help? And hopefully, over time, we'll get more and more clubs involved in it, because the demand will certainly increase, especially if we can get it done for next to nothing. That's the that's the hard thing. A lot of it comes down to money, and the funding is never easy to find for any of these organisations, whether it be a football club's charity, or whether it be a Sunday league team wanting to just support their community. It all costs money, and to a certain degree, it costs money for almost every aspect of it. So we're getting there. Two great new supporters. We've got great support from our patron, Andy Burnham, the MP. A number of other MPs are right behind us and wishing as well. And we're looking to expand with bringing in the regional ambassadors. That's going to create a huge impact on what we're doing, because it will mean we've got people in each region on hand to be there to assist in any way they can, to promote, to do a bit of door knocking for them, do a few phone calls for people, try and get them the facilities that are required, try and get them some equipment, and help create more localised leagues. And in due course as well, we'll create more cup competitions as well. That's what an ambassador will be doing. They'll be basically promoting football therapy, mental health football therapy in their region, and trying to be as proactive as possible in bringing together the correct organisations, i.e. Mental health charities, the NHS, and local football clubs and community projects, to bring everyone together to make sure that the appropriate people and the right people know exactly what is going on in the area and what is required. It's not going to be the most tasking job in the world, I have to say. It's going to be fun, because the rewards, they will see that when they go to any the football programmes. They will see the rewards when they go to the tournaments. So these people around the country that are going to be representing Mental Health Football UK are very, very important. And it takes quite a bit of pressure off me, I have to say. And I will learn how to delegate well. Something I was very bad at many, many years ago. But I've come to learn to accept that I have to be good at delegating.
These ambassadors need to have experience in mental health issues previously? Do the ambassadors need to have experience with mental health issues?
Not at all. We're hoping that we've got people with enough commitment and passion, and they see that there is a want for change through the football for people with mental health problems. Whether they've been affected by a mental health issue or not makes no difference. Because I think, like, most people, because mental health issues and mental health illnesses affect one in four people in their life, we all know someone that's been affected by a mental health problem. It may not be a life-threatening mental health condition. It may not have been something that lasted for a long time, but we know of someone. There's absolutely no doubt if they've been honest and told us. But I think that as long as the passion's there, and if they've got a football background, it's all the better, obviously. But we're also going to have, as well as having the regional ambassadors, we will also have peer ambassadors. So we have been approached by a number of people who have experienced in the past mental health problems, or they're still have a diagnosis of a mental health long-term illness, but it isn't stopping them to do that. It isn't stopping them functioning. So we will be taking those people on as well. We will certainly have in every area, I hope, a regional ambassador and a peer ambassador. That's the idea.
And so if any of our listeners are interested in becoming an ambassador or want to find out about events in their areas, how do they get in touch?
There's a few ways. One is to go have a look at our Facebook page, Mental Health Football UK. You'll see the sort of the calibre of organisations that we deal with. You see what's going on around the country. But also, obviously, all our contact details are on that at the moment, until we get our website launched within the next 6 weeks, I believe. But also, we are very popular on Twitter, at soccer_4_all, soccer for all, and through that we'll get back to anyone who shows a genuine interest to get involved, whether it be as an ambassador, a peer ambassador, or even if anyone wants to get involved in a local project with regards to maybe some volunteering, doing some coaching, or if someone feels that they're going to benefit as a participant, someone who's maybe experiencing some difficulty at the moment, if they're physically able to get into a gymnasium or onto a five-a-side football pitch and just get around, it's worth it, because the camaraderie alone between people who have had similar lived experience is enough to lift people out of doom and gloom. And if you keep going back, it just becomes like medicine. You just keep topping it up. Every time you get a little bit down, you take some more of your medication, which for me is playing football. That's how I look at it, and I know many, many other people totally and utterly agree with us. We see it as a form of therapy. We see it as not a cure, but we see it as a way to help us to become well again. But it's also very much medication. That therapy is good as the medication that we're taking. I'm not saying it replaces the medication, but it does feel as important as the medication that has been given to a lot of people. But it certainly feels a lot better for me personally, and for a number of people I know. It's the best form of therapy I've ever received. Nothing's touched it, actually. Nothing's come close to it.
So where do you see mental health football in the next 5-10 years?
Well, I would like to think, we've got a few ambitions. I want to have a national cup tournament to help raise the profile that gets some media attention. So we would have teams representing, probably the likes of four teams representing organisations in Scotland, four from Northern Ireland, Wales and England. Make it as high profile as possible. And use it as a way of possibly raising funds that can be distributed among the other programmes over in due course as well. And from that, the next stepping stone would be to create home international football matches over either a one-day football festival or a weekend. We could have the four home international teams where... the idea in the back of my mind has always been that when we get to that stage, that initially if you get picked to play for Scotland, then you go and you represent Scotland in one tournament in 2020, that's it. You never get picked again because it's not about ability. It's to give you that one chance to go and represent your country. So it just means that every time we would hold that sort of tournament, every time we had an international, it's going to be different people coming all the time to experience, pulling on the three lions for the English lads, pulling on the Scotland shirt, to make them feel proud of the fact they've represented Wales, and the Irish guys to feel that that's a once-in-a-lifetime achievement. And I do believe that with that sort of goal, with the participants having that somewhere in the back of their mind, that they don't have to be the best player on the pitch to go and represent their country. They just have to bide their time, and their turn may come if they put themselves forward for it. If they feel up to it and their coach thinks they can handle it, then there's always an opportunity they'll get to play, because there's always people coming and going at every programme, because we have new participants coming into programmes on a regular basis, but we also have a number of people that move on because they become well. They go back into education, they go back into training, they go into employment once again, and they can't get to the football. But the good thing is most people always keep the door ajar in case they ever have to come back again. I can see it. It's not that I hope it will happen. I see it happening. It's just when it will happen. We'll certainly see a British Cup tournament, a major one, but we will definitely at some point in, I don't know how many years down the line, depends on the money and who's going to support us, but I'd certainly see us having international matches, and that will certainly draw an awful lot of attention to how successful the football therapy programmes are, whether it be at Burnley, Everton, Celtic or Rangers, makes no difference. The people just see it works, and we just want to promote that so much that eventually we will see one, as I say, in every town and every city. And if the only way we can achieve that is by constantly raising the profile, raising awareness, talking about it openly, as many people within media to come and witness it for themselves. Then we will achieve our goals. I've no doubt that we'll achieve them. It's the time scale. That's the only thing. It's when it happens. Is when it happens. I'm not putting any deadlines on any of these goals whatsoever. They'll happen in due course.
Well, I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'd love to come back on again in the future.
And no give problem us an update. At all. It's a pleasure. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And I'll include all the links to the websites and the Twitter in the description below.
Yeah.